As they sang, the lights began slowly to fade. To fade, and at the same time to grow warmer, richer, redder, until at last they were dancing in the crimson twilight of an embryo store. Orgy, porgy! In their blood-coloured and fetal darkness, the dancers continued for a while to circulate, to beat and beat out the indefatigable rhythm. Orgy, porgy! Then the circle wavered, broke, fell in partial disintegration on the ring of couches which surrounded, circle enclosing circle, the table and its planetary chairs. Orgy, porgy! Tenderly the deep voice crooned and cooed. In the red twilight, it was as though some enormous negro dove were hovering benevolently over the now prone or supine dancers. They were standing on the roof. Big Henry had just sung 11. The night was calm and warm.
"Wasn't it wonderful?" said Fifi Bradlaugh. "Wasn't it simply wonderful?"
She looked at Bernard with an expression of rapture, but of rapture in which there was no trace of agitation or excitement. For to be excited is still to be unsatisfied. Hers was the calm ecstasy of achieved consummation, the peace not of mere vacant satiety and nothingness, but of balanced life, of energies at rest and in equilibrium, a rich and living peace. For the Solidarity Service had given as well as taken, drawn off only to replenish. She was full. She was made perfect. She was still more than merely herself.
"Didn't you think it was wonderful?"
she insisted, looking into Bernard's face with those supernaturally shining eyes.
"Yes, I thought it was wonderful,"
he lied, and looked away. The sight of her transfigured face was at once an accusation and an ironical reminder of his own separateness. He was as miserably isolated now as he had been when the service began, more isolated by reason of his unreplenished emptiness, his dead satiety, separate and unatoned, while the others were being fused into the greater being, alone even in Morgana's embrace, much more alone indeed, more hopelessly himself than he had ever been in his life before. He had emerged from that crimson twilight into the common electric glare with a self-consciousness intensified to the pitch of agony. He was utterly miserable, and perhaps, her shining eyes accused him, perhaps it was his own fault.
"Quite wonderful," he repeated, but the only thing he could think of was Morgana's eyebrow.